Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Radio Days. This is your host, John Hagedorn. Here we feature mostly cop and detective shows, plus adventure, plus surprise. You never know, but it's the best from the golden age of radio. We'll guarantee that. For those of you who want nonstop crime buster and detective shows, you can now add 1001 Radio Crime Solvers to your podcast library. That's 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. Brand new for 2023 and growing fast. Enjoy.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, American Federated Life Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Attention, Harvard Huntington General Manager. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during my assignment in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Or, the nights may be black down there, but the magic is blacker. Expense account, item one, $15 for a pair of tickets to see the show Detective Story at the Hudson Theater, New York, which I never got a chance to use since I was sitting in the living room of your Hartford home promptly at curtain time.
I want to thank you for coming out here.
Why, that's all right, sir.
Sorry to break into your evening like this, but since I have, I'll get right to the point.
Fine.
Perhaps you've heard of the Gordon family here in Hartford.
Well, what I see of the society page is while I'm flipping back to the sports section. But I've noticed the name. Diamond-studded, aren't they?
Yeah, immensely wealthy. Pillars of society and, surprisingly, quite a proper family. It is all but one of the sons, Ralph. Heavy drinker,
complete waster,
ne'er-do-well.
A blot on the old escutcheon, eh?
Yes. Continually getting into one scrape or another. Now he's done it again.
I tell you that you're not worried about Ralph the man, but about Ralph the policyholder.
Well, to put it bluntly, yes. I don't think it's unethical for a company to protect its interests. In this case, the policy is in the amount of $150,000, payable to his death to charity or to his wife if he's married.
That's quite a piece of paper.
Yes, to be quite candid, I rue the day it was issued. But the point is this. Ralph Gordon, at last report, is dying aboard his yacht at Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Oh, you don't need me, Mr. Huntington. You need the Mayo Clinic.
Dollar, yeah. I hesitate to even mention this in the presence of a sane man, but from everything we can learn, young Gordon is not dying from any known malady. He's dying as a result of a... Well, it's pure nonsense. He's supposed to be dying as a result of a voodoo curse. Now, anyone with any sense...
Now, wait a minute. Where'd you get your information?
From his older brother, Thomas. He's a doctor. He's down there in Haiti with Ralph. I want you to go down and debunk this thing, Dollar. Find out what's wrong. Why, any sane man knows there's no such voodoo. You don't believe in it, do you?
No. Not unless I see it working. Expense account, item two. $148.70, Hartford to Port-au-Prince, via airplane. Expense account item three, $32.50, tropical clothes. They didn't fit me, but they fit the weather. And item four, $25, spent while I browsed the waterfront bars in Port-au-Prince, looking for somebody who knew where the Gordon yacht was moored. When I found him, he not only knew that, he knew everything.
Ask me first. My name's Cap Reagan, and I've been here since before repeal. Give up my citizenship, I did, with the help of a couple of prohibition agents.
Oh, you don't say.
Uh-huh. And I figure on sailing out in the final days right here. What do you want with the Gordon craft?
I want to see the owner, Ralph Gordon. How do I get to it?
Oh, I reckon you pay me to row you out to her. My dinghy's down at the foot of the pier, just a short hail from where we're at.
Oh, well, good. Come on, let's shove off there.
Just wait till it down my ration here. That'll put me shipshape. What'd you say you wanted with that schooner? You figuring on buying her?
Thanks for the compliment, pal. Listen, if I bought a boat today, it would have to be a surplus life raft. Now, I told you I want to talk to Gordon.
Friendly visit or other kind?
I'm beginning to see how you know so much about this island.
Well, never question, never learn. Remember that, Sonny?
Yeah.
Yeah, this way. Veer off to starboard. Oh, sure. Never question, never learn.
Yeah. Well, I'm an insurance investigator, and a company sent me down here to look things over, including Gordon.
Something wrong?
I don't know yet. What do you know about him?
Jug full, sonny, a jug full. Stood into the harbor about 2 months back. No sooner dropped his hook than his crew started taking the pierhead leap. Everybody jumped but the bosun, for reasons of his own.
Why did they leave him?
Because he was half seas over all the time. You navigate with sextant, a compass, and parallel ruler, sonny. Not with a double shot and a water chaser. You get the drift?
Yeah, they were afraid to sail.
Aye, that's the line of it. And if you had ever piled into a reef, you'd feel the same. Yeah, here we are. Oh. That's my dinghy down at the bottom of that ladder. There's Gordon's yacht out there. You see her?
Oh, yeah.
That tug's passing the stern of her now.
Yeah, I say. That's a lot of boat.
Yeah. She carries a suit of sail like a grain clipper. Wait till you see her close up. She's as dirty as a garbage scow. Give her a hail now, sonny. They're close enough.
Hey! Anybody aboard? Hey, aboard the yacht! Anybody home?
Ship was dirty, I didn't notice. It may have had good lines, too, but it couldn't have touched what stood at the rail wearing clam diggers, an off-the-shoulder T-shirt, and a Caribbean tan.
Oh. There's a rim hull for you.
Yeah.
That'll be his wife.
His wife? Oh.
Can I come aboard?
Who are you? What do you want?
I'm Johnny Dollar from Hartford. I want to talk to Ralph.
Yes, and I guess you'll have to come aboard.
Here. I'll swing the stern into the ladder.
Okay.
There you be.
Oh.
Steady now. Yeah. Steady, steady.
Okay, Cap. You wait for me, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how are things in Ralphie's old hometown?
Cold. But not as cold as this reception.
Don't let it throw you. What is this, a friendly drop-in? Business? Or just plain snooping? It's the last. I'm Edwina. The wife, they haven't heard about at home.
Congratulations. Now I know why you like to wear your shoulders bare. It's better to keep a chip on them.
If you're through being sharp, I'll let you hear what's left of my husband. Come on. Through here.
Okay.
Ralph, you've got a visitor from Hartford.
Get away from this cabin, you dirty little gold digger, and take your visitor with you. Wine's all gone. Why don't they send another case of wine?
There you are, Chum. You've got the door locked. You'll stay that way till he runs out of wine, you heard enough?
Yeah. Enough to know how you acquired your charming attitude.
Forget it. I walked into it with my eyes wide open. Let's get back out on deck. The light's better for throwing bobs at each other.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like fun.
Well, do I have to help you off the boat?
Not until you help me by answering some questions. I'm an insurance investigator, and I was sent down here by the company that holds a policy on your husband's life.
Oh, what should I do, Frank?
The story they got was that Ralph was dying from some kind of a voodoo curse. They don't believe it, neither do I.
Why not? It might be true.
Huh?
Some old dame, they call her Maria Lascelles. She came out to the boat. She yelled some things at him, and when Ralphie threw a bottle at her, she swore she'd put a curse on him. How'd they hear about that back in Hartford?
Ralph's brother, Dr. Thomas Gordon, told them. You know him?
Yeah, we hate each other. I wonder why he'd tell them.
Maybe because he thought somebody who'd be better off with Ralph dead was using Maria Lascelles' curse as a cover-up. How would you stand as his widow?
Get off. Boat.
Never mind the act. You're his beneficiary. Or didn't you know?
I said get off.
What's the trouble, Eddie?
Oh, him. Yeah, come here, will you?
All right. Who's the boarding party?
Just get him off him. I'll see you in my cab.
Sure, honey. Anybody gets you this upset, it'll be a pleasure. Well, mate, Do you walk or dive?
Save your strength for the last scene, Goliath. I was just leaving. Expense account, item 5, $3. Paid to Cap Reagan as water taxi fare. Item 6, 80 cents. Land taxi fare to Hotel Francois. An up-at-the-heels hangout for not only the best in tourists, but also Brother Thomas Gordon, M.D.
Yes?
I'm Johnny Dollar, Dr. Gordon, from Hartford.
Oh, yes, Dollar. I've been expecting you. They wired me you were coming, Don. Come in.
Thank you.
Please make yourself comfortable. Could I offer you something?
Nothing but some brotherly advice.
Why, certainly. You know, I feel like a stupid fool for not being able to handle this thing myself. So, now that you're here, you call on me for anything. Have you seen Ralph?
I tried to, but he locked himself in his cabin. Tell me, as a medical man, how do you digest this voodoo curse story?
Why, it's ridiculous. Good heavens, this is the 20th century. I do think that science doesn't know everything it would like to know about voodoo and black magic. There are stories supposedly true, but any victim would have to have a highly susceptible mind. Now, I know my brother, Mr. Dollar. His mind is susceptible only to his own whims and fancies.
Well, then what's the matter with him?
That's it. I don't know. He's drawn within himself. He seems to be searching almost insanely for escape through alcohol.
Hasn't anybody thought of putting him on the wagon? It's a horrible idea, but I've heard it works.
I don't think this is the time for it. He's suffering mentally and needs release.
Well, that leaves us with only one thing to think about. No matter how thin you cut it, it's still voodoo.
Well, I'm a man of science, Mr. Dollar. I'd make hypocrisy out of all my knowledge and training if I attacked the problem from that direction. But please, you let me know what you learned.
Expense account, item 7, $4. Rental of horse and cart in which my walking tourist guide, Cap Reagan, and I jolted out of town in search of Maria LaSalle. Something made me feel like I was riding my last mile in a tumbril en route to the guillotine. The moonlight was fighting a losing battle against an army of storm clouds that were sweeping in. That'll make it worse. I heard a drum.
Hear there, Sonny?
Yeah. Sort of a tired Jean Krupa.
Means we're getting close to Maria's headquarters.
Is she the only one around here?
Yep. None of the good Hugans performs in her territory. She's too mean.
Oh, great. What's the matter?
We're here. That's the path. Over there by that gnarled old tree. From here on, you plot your own course. This is close enough for me.
Oh, me too. Well, how do I know I can't put a curse on her? I've never tried.
Smooth sailing, Sonny.
The path ran along the edge of a field of sugarcane. On the other side was a solid wall of jungle. First, I smelled some feathers burning. Then I heard the chant. There was an opening in the wall of jungle that led to a small clearing, and just before the moon was smothered by another cloud, I saw a shack. Little clouds of smoke curled out through an open door, and I could see the glow of a fire on the floor inside. Maria, I want to talk to you.
Who is it? Come to the house of Maria.
My name wouldn't mean a thing to you, but what I have to say will. Can I come in?
Great. What is this word of so great importance to stop Maria?
All I know about voodoo is I don't believe it.
Papa Leva!
I've come to you because I haven't gotten any answers from anybody else. I want to know what's behind this so-called curse you put on Ralph Gordon.
You don't believe. You let me make you believe, eh? Ralph Gordon, he died tonight in the wind and rain. And for you, I have magic now. Look, regard my fire. You will see, you will believe this show. Voila! Billy!
I couldn't see what she'd thrown to the fire. She'd reached behind her for it. But when the smoke from it whirled around me, it seemed to grab my throat and squeeze. I stumbled back to the door. I hadn't believed in voodoo when I'd come in, but going out, I wasn't so sure.
In just a moment, we'll return to the second act of Johnny Dollar. But first, the two Orange Bowl teams, Santa Clara and Kentucky, will be honored by Vaughn Monroe and his CBS Caravan tonight. Vaughn and his great band will play favorite songs of the two Orange Bowl teams. Be sure to hear Vaughn Monroe's Caravan, followed by the Gene Autry Show on most of the same CBS stations tonight and every Saturday night. Now with our star, Charles Russell, we return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
My throat burned. My eyes were looking at each other. My lungs felt like a pair of deflated footballs. And the blood in my head was pounding a better and louder rhythm than that drum. I staggered around the heavy jungle air, and when I could breathe again, I gulped in enough to lift the Grav Zeppelin. By that time, I was cool enough to get hot in anger. I got back to the shack. Maria had either disappeared into space or flown the coop. The atmosphere was not quite deadly. I crossed over to where she had been squatting. She hadn't left much of what she'd smoked me out with, but she'd left enough to swing things back from the world of black magic into the world of logic. A few shreds of photographic film on the dirt floor. And film, made of cellulose and nitrates, not only takes pictures, it puts out nitric oxide and nitrogen dioxide when it's burned. A combination that would live up to the demands of any gas chamber. The captain rowed me out to the Gordon yacht. This time I boarded without a hail. Ralph was still in a bad mood as I started to pass his cabin.
Why don't they send the wine? Empty! Empty!
His antics inside the cabin sounded interesting, but not half as interesting as the conversation coming from Edwina's cabin. Dear Edwina, the little wife they didn't know about at home.
Landing in a Haitian prison with your motive showing.
Think it over, Angel. I'll be in my sack when you make up your mind.
How wrong can you be?
See you later, hon.
Since I've been on the receiving end of so many surprise sluggings, this was almost a pleasure.
What are you doing on this ship? Get off.
Oh, no. Not of that intriguing conversation I just heard.
What? How much did you hear?
If I added it to that gas assault Maria LaSalle threw at me, it'd be enough to nail you and Loverboy here for conspiracy to commit murder.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the point is, I know what you two were talking about.
Oh, listen to me. You've got to believe me.
I don't have to. But try me anyway.
Well, I admit that Em and I... Well, it was because Ralph turned into a wino after you were married. Well,
this probably marks the first time in history that an icicle melted in the Port of France.
Please, let me finish. When my marriage went to pieces, I had to do something or go crazy. See, Ralph drinking up all the champagne on the island was just more than I could take. I was going to divorce him and leave with him, but we weren't going to murder him.
Chapter one has so many holes in it, it would have been printed by a punch press. You don't worry about landing in prison with your motive showing when all you're planning is divorce.
Oh, yes, you do when people are waiting for your husband to die under mysterious circumstances. That's why I was trying to make him go away. If Ralph died, who'd look any farther than the erring wife?
Can you lock this cabin from the outside?
No. What are you going to do? You're not going to lock me in?
No, just your playmate. You're coming with me.
Where?
To Maria LaSalle's. I want to catch your reaction when she sees you.
You don't believe me.
No. With $150,000 at stake, I don't even believe myself. There's a shack. Go ahead. Go on in.
Oh, come to the door of Maria. Oh, are you a woman?
Well, Mr. Donald, are you satisfied?
Not quite.
And you who don't believe, why are you here? You wish again to see the power of my smoke?
Let's drop the act, Maria. I know what you threw into the fire.
It was my bucket of smoke.
Yeah, well, a good man from the police laboratory can sift enough out of those ashes to know it was film.
What is this you say?
I say that I've got enough on you, you old fake, to put you in the local pokey.
Who dares to speak this to Maria?
And that's where you're going to go if you don't cooperate. That's a promise.
What is it you want?
Did somebody put you up to this cursed business that Ralph Gordon is supposed to be under?
Well, a man of your race.
Who was it?
I do not know. Now go. That is all.
It's not enough. What was his name?
I don't know the name.
What did he look like then?
My eyes are closed.
Nuts. Come on.
No,
taking
no.
you into town, I'm going to drag you by the hair.
No, don't touch me. I will tell you how it is. It is true. I do not know the name or the face. He come to me. He asked me when comes the next rain and wind. I tell him last night. But it is tonight. The storm comes with the seat. He tell me he needs storm to close portholes in the ship.
Huh?
He say, if I bring this curse, I will be the best Hougan on Haiti because it kill white man. That is difficult. That is all. Now you go.
How about the film for the fire? Did he give it to you?
It is true. Not long before you come.
Well, get rid of it, Granny, before you lose your license to operate.
Now, you go. Maria will be alone. Papa, Eva,
okay, Mrs. Gordon. Let's not stay for the music.
Did you make head or tail out of what she said?
Hey, look. What goes into your husband's cabin?
Nothing but food and wine. Mostly wine.
Well, who fixes his meals?
I do. Our cook left us.
Well, what about the wine?
Huh?
Where does it come from? You said it was champagne, didn't you?
Yeah, it always comes from the same place. Liquor shop in town, a case at a time. Oh, nothing makes any sense. What are you going to do?
All I can do, try every angle. But that's not all I'm going to try in that liquor shop. Expense account, item 8, $4.50. 2 quarts of rum, the purchase of which helped loosen the tongue of the proprietor who had been supplying Ralph Gordon's champagne.
Which wine? A case at a time, packed in dry ice. There was
and
no
the
doubt.
Words that poured out weren't exactly intoxicating, but they sent me staggering to the nearest phone.
Yes, hello?
Hello, Dr. Gordon, this is Dollar.
Good, Dollar, I've been wondering about you. What have you learned?
First, tell me this. What would happen to a man if he was in a ship's cabin on a stormy night with all the portholes closed and there was a lot of dry ice in there with him?
What? What was that?
A small room. No ventilation. A lot of dry ice. A lush, maybe passed out. What would happen?
Good Lord. Dry ice is solidified carbon dioxide. If enough of it evaporated into the room...
The lush would not be bothered by a hangover the next morning because he wouldn't wake up, right?
Exactly. The gas, although not toxic, would force the oxygen from the atmosphere and the result would be asphyxiated. What are you getting at, Thomas?
That curse your brother is suffering from is very scientific. The champagne he's been getting has been chilled by dry ice. About 5 pounds per case. And one case went out to the yacht just before the storm broke.
Oh, Lord. Well, it may be just coincidence, but Ralph's wife, and that bosun.
Yeah, I know. For a bosun, he'd make a very good chemist. Well, send for a pull motor, will you? If it's too late for your brother, maybe I can use it.
Flying fish sailor, I hail from Hong Kong.
Hey, Cap.
Blow,
Cap.
Blow.
Come on, Cap.
Ahoy, Sonny. Send him around, George, from a shipmate and me. This is rum
Never
weather,
mind the round, Cap. You got to row me out to that yacht again.
Huh? What do you take me for, a blasted galley sleeve?
Come on,
My
Cap.
Back is about broke now from all the rowing in this...
20 bucks.
In this what? What'd you say?
I didn't think it could rain any harder than it had, but it did. We would have been drier swimming. And the visibility was so bad, I would have had to have a seeing eye sealed to find the ship. But about 20 minutes out, Cap spotted a riding light.
Here's your lie, Sonny.
We were on target. But so was somebody else. A searchlight stabbed out at us.
Hey, hey, hey! This sounds like Prohibition days. Who's giving us a broadside?
I can't tell you.
I'll lay a pelican hood over his head if I get my hands on him.
Cap, what's the matter?
Got my left leg.
Cap, get down to the bottom. I'm going over the side. To me, swimming is a pastime to be practiced only under ideal circumstances, in a pool, and preferably in the company of a well-filled bikini suit. But there was nothing to do but swim, so I swam. I tried to remember how many shots had been fired, and that's where I made my mistake. There was a lull in the shooting, which I took to mean the gun was empty. I put my head down in the best Weissmuller style and thrashed my way to the ladder. But when I got there, the first thing I saw after I'd shaken the water out of my eyes was the muzzle of a rifle. The face looking down the barrel at me belonged to Brother Thomas Gordon, M.D.
Sorry, Dollar. Killing you wasn't in my plan. But now it'll have to be done.
I wasn't surprised at that, but I was surprised at what happened. I was waiting for a bullet to come my way, but instead the doctor did.
Are you all right, Dollar?
Yeah, I am. Something wrong with a Turkish towel won't cure. I'll thank you later for spoiling his aim. Get a hook on the doctor. He's our prize fish. Don't let him get away. I grabbed a fire axe out of his case on my way to Ralph Gordon's cabin. If it needed ventilating, I knew one quick way to do it. I didn't check for oxygen. I took a deep breath, held it, and went in. The cabin was littered with wine bottles, and in one corner, in an open case, was the dry ice that was in the process of cooling Gordon off for good. He was stretched out on his bunk. I hefted him to my shoulder. Used the last of my breath getting him out of there. Expense account, item 9, $30. Cover charge at a hospital where I put the revived Gordon under the care of a doctor, not his brother, who happened to be resting in a jail cell at the time. His motive hadn't been the insurance money. He figured to gain quite a chunk as the only heir to the Gordon fortune, if he could have taken care of Brother Ralph. Item 10, same as item 9, same hospital where they patched up Cap Riggin. Item 11, $148.70, return trip to Hartford. And expense account item 12, $40. An ounce of voodoo perfume for the lovely but sometimes chilly Edwina. Maybe if she tries that kind of magic on her husband, he'll spend less time with a bottle, Joy, and more with her kind. Expense account total, $424.70. Signed, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Charles Russell. Tonight's script by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd was produced and directed by Ralph Rose. Featured in the cast were Betty Lou Gerson, Sylvia Sims, Ben Wright, Ken Christie, Howard Culver, Dawes Butler, and Tim Graham. The special music is written and conducted by Leith Stevens. Be sure to be with us at the same time next week when another unusual expense account is handed in by...
$20.
Were you right? Were you wrong? Did you know it was Buster Keaton playing Sing It Again's Phantom Voice these last few weeks? Well, now there's a new Phantom riding the airways on Sing It Again. And for identifying him tonight, some CBS listener can win $50,000 in cash and prizes, radio's largest jackpot. Phone calls go out from coast to coast, so be ready for the new Phantom when Sing It Again comes your way over most of these same CBS stations later tonight. Now stay tuned for Vaughn Monroe's Caravan, which follows over most of these same CBS stations. This is CBS, where yours truly, Johnny Dollar, meets adventure every Saturday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It was the week before Christmas, and all through the house, a creature was stirring. And boy, what a rat.
This is another in the Adventures of America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar, starring Charles Russell. At Insurance Investigation, Johnny Dollar is only an expert. At making out his expense account, he's an absolute genius.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Industrial Insurers Incorporated, Hartford, Connecticut. Attention, Mr. Eben Stevens, General Manager. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during investigation of small-time swindles of big-time department stores. Or how I played Santa Claus and almost got left holding the sack. Or going for a sleigh ride without benefit of snow can be tough sledding. Expense account, item one. $1, tip to messenger who delivered this assignment writing by hand to my apartment.
Thanks, Mr. Dollar.
You have never been known as a fast man with a buck, Mr. Stevens, and I must say your note to me also marked you in my mind as an economist with words.
Dear Dollar, our client, the Association of Department Stores of Greater Manhattan, has requested help on the following problem. A young man has been making the rounds of New York department stores during the current Christmas rush. Using his equipment and official-looking sales book, he goes to a business department, makes a quick sale on some large item, writes it up in his furious sales book, takes the customer's cash, and disappears. Enclosed find varying descriptions, as furnished by victims to date, and check for your usual retainer fee. Please put a stop to this nefarious practice at once. Signed, Eben Stevens, General Manager.
Expense account, item two, $6.21. Train fare, Hartford to New York. Next morning at 7:03 on the Banker's Special. A train very cleverly named that because 75% of its load is made up of bankers. I sat among them in a parlor car, watching them limbering up for the day's chores, slowly shaking their heads from side to side and softly whispering, no. We arrived at Grand Central at 9:20. The bankers got off and headed for their granite vaults. I got off and headed to face my stone wall. Expense account, item three, $4, cab fare to offices of the Association of Department Stores of Greater Manhattan. There, things got brighter right away. Her name was Judy Whitehall. Boy, how she'd been missed by the scouts for the Copacabana, I'll never know.
I have been assigned to help you all I can, Mr. Dollar. What would you like to know first?
Your home phone number. Oh, well, maybe we better wait until later for that. How many stores are there in your association, Miss Whitehall?
We have 120 member stores, Mr. Dollar.
Great. You know, in one department store, I'm the kind of a guy that can't find the glove department. And now I've got 120 stores in which to find someone I don't even know.
Well, we do have the man's description.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a lot of descriptions, all slightly different.
And the regular store detectives are all on the lookout. Yeah,
it's like looking for a noodle in a spaghetti stack.
And all the sales personnel have been warned.
Beautiful.
What's beautiful?
Your face.
Well, really, Mr. Dollar.
Hmm?
After all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I know. Business. Well, before I start, maybe you'd better give me a letter of identification.
I spent all day moseying around department stores without buying anything. I can stand a good chance of getting picked up as a shoplifter.
Right away. Follow me.
All right.
Oh, just a minute. Hello, this is Miss Whitehall. Oh, yes, Mr. Sandler. Oh, my, that's terrible. My goodness, that's awful. Good gracious, that's worse. Well, the insurance investigator is here right now, Mr. Sandler. We'll be right over.
What's so terrible?
Well, that man, the one we're looking for, he was in the Miller's store making a phony sale in the camera department.
Oh, you also said it was awful.
It was. A little girl picked up a camera and snapped his picture, and the man tried to take it away from her, and the girl yelled, and then her mother screamed.
And what made it worse?
Well, a store detective came running, and the man shot him. Then he grabbed the little girl, camera and all, and ran off. They called the police.
Really? I can't imagine why. The mob scene in the Miller's store would have made the Notre Dame backfield holler uncle. Christmas neckties were selling like hotcakes. Only compared to most of the ties, a hotcake would look better on you. The camera department was on the mezzanine, and the store manager, Mr. Sander, was on a rampage.
Why doesn't somebody do something? Why can't they find him? I've got men posted on every door. He's in this store somewhere, and... Oh, Miss Whitehall, it's about time. Who's this?
Oh, this is Mr. Dollar, Mr. Sandler, from the insurance company.
Well, I don't know what you can do, Dollar. I've already got 20 policemen running all over the store. It's absolutely ridiculous, preposterous, and fantastic. That's what it is.
Also amazing. Now, tell me, Mr. Sandler, about that little girl who picked up the camera and snapped the culprit's picture. Did they find her yet?
They certainly did, in the rug department. She'd been shoved in the middle of a pile of 9x12 Orientals on sale at $123.50. She was scared, but not hurt.
And the girl was found without the camera, I suppose.
Naturally, but the camera wouldn't do us any good. After all, I'm sure the camera didn't have any film in it. They never do when on display.
Well, how about the store detective, the one who got shot?
In the hospital, Miss Hall. They'll call me here as soon as they find out how badly he's been hurt.
Well, look, getting back to that kid. Was she able to give you a good description of the guy who grabbed her?
She hasn't stopped crying long enough.
Well, how about her mother?
Neither is she.
Well, where are they now?
They're in my office. That's why I'm staying right here.
Where is your office?
On the 8th floor, right next to the credit office.
Well, this may be the first time I ever got past the credit office. Come on, Judy.
Oh, Bobby, come on. Blow your nose. There. Now be a brave little girl.
I don't want it. He hit me. He tried to kill me. Oh. He took away my camera.
Let me have another try, Mrs. Jenkins.
All right, Mr. Dollar, if you think it'll do any good.
All right. Oh, come on now, Bobby. All you have to do is tell us what that bad man looked like. We'll get him, and then we'll fix him. Come on now, huh?
I don't want to. He'll kill me.
I'm beginning to think he's got a point. Okay, Bobby. Okay. Just a minute now. Oh, Judy. Here.
Yes, Johnny?
Looks like it's a child psychologist. I'm nothing. At this point, I feel like telling little Bobby to go out and play with some old razor blades. Got any suggestions?
Well, it is almost Christmas.
Yeah?
And one thing little girls don't want to do at Christmas is get in wrong with Santa Claus.
Ah, gotcha. Good gal. Where do we find Santa Claus?
In the toy department on the 5th floor.
Well, give me about 5 minutes to explain things to Santa and then bring Bobby down.
All right.
Oh, Bobby.
What?
Do you know what happens to little girls who make Santa Claus mad at them?
Yes.
What happens?
They don't get to look at television before they go to bed.
I mean, at Christmas, what happens?
They don't get any toys. All they get is old sweaters and underwear.
Well, listen, Bobby. This guy Santa happens to be a good friend of mine. What do you think of that?
Tell him I want an air rifle.
You would. Okay. I'll even fix it so you can tell him yourself. How's that?
Just fine.
Ah, good girl. Hey, where'd you get that blood on your coat? You got a cut?
No, sir. That's from that bad man. I bit him on the hand.
Okay, Judy. Here I go. Oh, and on the way down, maybe you better stop by the dog supply department and buy little Bobby a muzzle. If the kid doesn't like his looks, old Saint Nick may get nicked. The department stores should have some kind of a congressional medal for salespeople who work in the toy department just before Christmas. I took the elevator down to 5, and when that door slid open... It was like stepping into Dante's Inferno, junior grade. First, I got on a house phone and called Sandler, who was still in the camera department. He'd had word from the hospital. The store detective had died without regaining consciousness. I was no longer trying to catch a cheap swindler. I was now out to swap blood with a dirty murderer. A line of fidgety kids led me to Santa Claus, sitting benignly on his throne. I had a short talk with him and a short wait for Judy and little Bobby. Okay, Santa. Now, we've got to make her talk. That is, you've got to.
All right, Dollar. All right now, kiddies. You'll have to wait for a moment. We have a special little visitor coming to see me.
Hello, Johnny. All set?
Yeah, all set. Okay, Bobby, my girl. Now, just let me give you a hoist up into Santa's lap. He wants to ask you a few questions.
I want an air rifle.
Now, you'll be a good little girl and answer all Santa's nice questions, and you'll get it. But not where I'd like to give it to you. Up you go.
Yes. Well, there we are, honey. Now, tell me, what do you want for Christmas?
I want an air rifle.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that. Tell me, have you been a good little girl?
Yes, sir.
Well, first we'll just have to look up your name in my little black book and make sure. Pretty good. All but one little thing.
What'd I do? I didn't do nothing.
Well, that's just it. You see, Bobby, I have a note here that today some people asked you what a certain man looked like and you wouldn't tell them. Is that right?
I'm afraid. I don't want to tell. They can't make me.
Well, Bobby, maybe you and I had better talk this over. If you won't do something for us, how do you expect it to happen?
Little Bobby's description of the murderer wasn't the greatest by any means, but it was better than none at all, with which we had been furnished by the personnel in the camera department and the kid's mother. We took the girl to the advertising department, where an artist made a sketch. Armed with a drawing, we made a tour of the store exits, showing it to the police posted on every door, giving them a rough idea what to look for. A medium-build, pudgy man with black hair. And when they came across such a character, he was to be issued an invitation to show his hands. If he was sporting Bobby's teeth marks, then they'd really know. Well, this chore out of the way, Miss Whitehall and I sank our teeth in a pair of sandwiches in the tea room. The Shopper's Delight sandwich, to be exact. Cream cheese, walnuts, watercress, and pineapple on whole wheat bread. We found the store manager, Sandler, back in his office. He, too, was eating, but he was on a diet of straight fingernails.
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. That's what it is.
Now, don't worry, Mr. Sandler. He'll be caught. As a swindler, he might have gone on for years. But as a murderer, it won't be long, believe me.
Oh, what to do, what to do, what to do.
Well, I've got several ideas. And the first is to get out of your office and start at the top of the store and work my way down.
They're already doing that. Another sign of him.
Well, I once found a mouse in a hayloft, so be not disencouraged. And a pretty little mouse she was.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, please, try to relax, Mr. Sandler. Everybody's doing their best.
Yes, I'm sure they are. It's just that I... Oh. Hello? Yes, this is Mr. Sandler. Oh, no. Where? How long has he been there? Hello? I'll be right down.
What's the matter now?
About an hour and a half ago, our store Santa Claus stepped out into the employee's restroom for a smoke. He was slugged from behind. When he came to, he was all tied up in a broom closet, and somebody has stolen his Santa Claus suit. They just found him.
About an hour and a half ago. Judy, you know what that means?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. 45 minutes ago, when little Bobby was giving Santa Claus the murderer's description, he was giving it to the murderer himself.
Oh, good gracious.
Instead of a kid's air rifle, it could have gotten us a revolver, size 38.
In just a moment, we will return to the second act of Johnny Dollar, but first... CBS is going to bring you one of the biggest presents you ever received from show business tomorrow afternoon, Christmas Day. For a full hour on the entire CBS network, you're going to get all the comedy, all the laughs, and one of the greatest Broadway and Hollywood hits of recent years, The Man Who Came to Dinner. And The Man Who Came will be played by none other than Jack Benny, plus Charles Boyer, Gene Kelly, Dorothy McGuire, Gregory Peck, and Rosalind Russell, plus Henry Fonda and John Garfield as narrators. You'll hear them all on CBS's special holiday hour tomorrow afternoon. Jack Benny, playing the man who came to dinner and breaking a leg, had to stay on and on and on. Now with our star, Charles Russell, we return to the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
There's no place like a crowded department store for a fresh-made murderer to be on the loose. Especially one that's playing Santa Claus for a lot of rosy-cheeked little nippers. I headed back to the toy department. But when I got there, the cupboard was bare. Our lethal Saint Nick had decided to give up his red flannel and white whisker hiding place. We found the empty suit in a storeroom, tossed high on a stack of baby buggies.
Oh, Johnny, this is terrible. That man's a murderer. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? Now, listen, Judy. By now, there must be 87 cops sifting through this store looking for that guy. They've got two cops on every door. Now, all I'm going to do is help them look. This is one of those everybody's problems.
You're right. I guess I'm just getting excited.
Well, that you have a right to do. Come on, let's get out of here. I've got an idea.
All right, Johnny,
Mr. Dollar, thank goodness I found you. Mr. Sandler wants you right away down on 3. An old lady has just been shot in Junior Mrs. Lingerie.
Oh. Serves her right for not acting her age. Let's go, Judy.
Right over here, Dollar.
All right.
Let him through, please. Let him... Lady, please stand back now. Well, Dollar,
yeah.
Congratulations. Before, this store was only going to sue that company of yours for $1 million. Considering what this shooting will do to our reputation, I'm going to make that $5 million.
Mr. Sandler, keep your powder dry. First of all, it's not my company. And second, you can't sue them for something they didn't do. And third, you'd better get this poor old gal to a hospital. How badly is she hurt, and how did it happen?
The doctor's on his way, and we've sent for an ambulance. This woman was lost out on the back stairway looking for the ladies' room. That maniac saw her coming toward him and ran down the stairs firing over his shoulder. The bullet just seems to have grazed her left side.
Pretty lucky. Where are the police?
They're searching all over the store. Dollar, what are we going to do? This is terrible for business.
Well, I suspect that any minute now, the cops will be telling you to do something that's going to be even worse for business. Close the store.
Well, but close the store? Yeah. Why, we're staying open late tonight. It's the last minute rush.
I'm just telling you what I think. I think the cops will double the lookouts on all the doors and make you close the store. Then they can go to work.
We lose thousands of dollars. They can't make me close the store.
You stay open, you might lose a few more customers. The hard way. Where's that doctor?
He'll be here any minute.
Oh, well, Mr. Sam.
Well, yes, what is it?
Well, they called up from the sporting goods in the basement. That man has been down there and held them up. And he took 4 guns and 6 boxes of ammunition.
6 boxes of... Oh, my. Oh, what's this going to do to our store?
If you're not careful, it's going to turn your store into the world's largest shooting gallery with live targets. You know what I suggest, Mr. Sam?
What? Tell me what.
Don't wait for the police to tell you. Close the store. Sandler didn't like it, and neither did the customers, as they filed out of the store past the scrutiny of the police officers, still clutching their unfinished Christmas shopping lists. The process was slow, and while the customers were leaving, the clerks finished up their business, put the white shrouds over their counters, and they too filed out into the early night. The boys in blue, watching the doors, came up with several men answering the general description of our friend with a loose trigger finger, but none of them had little Bobby's teeth marks on his hands. That made it a 50-50 chance that Mr. Killer was still in the building. There's nothing more eerie than a department store after closing. In its white sheets, the whole joint seemed to be playing ghost. I sent Judy over to a steakhouse, Pietre's, on 3rd Avenue, told her to wait. Then I had Sandler get me a gun from the sporting goods department. For that lonely, scared feeling, there's no medicine that quite takes the place of a piece of cool steel in your little hot hand. sergeant, in charge of the police detail, posted men outside all exits. The rest he took up to the roof with them. They were going to run the whole store through their burly blue sieve, floor by floor, counter by counter, inch by inch. Sandler stayed with me down the first floor. Just for fun, I thought I would start working my way up.
Dollar, don't you think we should get out of here and leave this to the police?
Well, I have several goosebumps that agree with you, Mr. Sandler, but I have a very dangerous habit of trying to earn my money.
Oh, this is terrible.
Now, look, every counter and post in this store is just the kind of hiding place a sniper would pray for. I get paid for this kind of work. You don't. Now, why don't you go out for a nice safe walk?
It's my duty to stay here. I'm sticking with you.
Okay. But remember, two of us give him twice as much to shoot at.
No, you did.
I had to go and open my big mouth. Get down. Getting down on that floor could have been committing suicide in itself. The killer's bullet had crashed into a showcase. A sea of broken glass is a risky place to practice diving. Having to swim out of it was twice as bad, but that's what I had to do.
Oh, Mr. Dollar.
Now, Sandler, keep your head down. Bury your face in that glass, but keep your head down.
Yes, Dollar. Tell me what to do, anything, but get me out of here. I have a wife and three kids.
Well, if you'll do what I tell you to do, your wife will go on having a husband and your kids will still have a father.
Yes, yes, just tell me.
I don't know exactly where that shot came from, but from the looks of this glass, it must have been from behind us. Now, I'm going to leave you and crawl over near those elevators. While I'm on my way, you rattle around in this glass. Let them hear where you are. Give me about 2 minutes, and then do something to draw his fire.
What'll I do?
Do anything but one thing. Don't stand up.
I'll think of something.
You'd better. But don't take any chances.
No. But what are you going to do?
Take some chances. Once I was on my way, Sandler went to work with a vengeance. I could hear him thrashing around in that glass like he was trying to corner the Band-Aid market. I made it over the elevators, scooting flat along the floor till I hit a car with an open door and slithered inside. Behind the protection of the elevator's front wall, I stood up, peered over at the edge of the door, and waited for Sandler to make the move that would draw the murderer's fire. I must say Sandler was dead game, and the way he made his move, he also stood a good chance of becoming plain dead. First, he stopped wiggling around on his bed of glass, and then he just stood straight up. The shot missed, but my eyesight didn't. The killer was shooting from high up, behind a pole. He was standing up on a glass showcase, hoping for a better view. And it didn't take me long to decide to give him a better view of the inside of that glass showcase. I started deliberately shooting his foothold out from under him. He was bleeding beautifully when he started to run, straight for the back of the store, firing as he ran. As one last souvenir, he threw his empty gun over his shoulder at me. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw guns. I decided to join the track team and went on the chase. Back out of the main floor, through the employee's entrance, out to the dimly lit shipping department, and its loading dock filled with packages ready for shipment. I could hear him moving around among them. Okay, get your hands up and come out. I'm giving you a chance, but it's not going to last long. Get moving.
I don't need your chance. I've got something better.
Okay, so you want to play. I think I'll give you a couple of Yuletide presents early, and I'm sure nobody will mind if I open your head before Christmas. My hot-headed friend was hiding behind a high pile of wooden boxes ready for shipping. I grabbed a heavy, empty dolly, gave it a flying start, sent it crashing into the bottom box of the pile. It was beautiful. The biggest crash since 29. It was a tough fight, but Mom, I don't think I won. At best, it was a draw. About the 15th time I belted him, he belted me right back. Then he got his hands on a hammer, laid it across the side of my head. I got the hammer, did the same for him, and made a hole in one. He fell squarely into a man-sized packing case lying at the foot of the packing bench. I was getting weak, dizzy. I had to hold him. One thing to do. Top of case lying right there. Already. Nails part way in. Put it on right over him. Nail it on. Good. Tight. Good. Tight. Good. Tight. Everything is going black. Then everything went white. Hey, corny as this may sound, where am I?
You're in the hospital, Johnny, darling.
Hmm?
But don't worry. It's only a slight concussion. They brought you here last night.
Oh, I suppose I have a hammer-shaped hole in my head.
No, darling. It hardly shows.
Oh. How could it? These bandages covering it up. Well, at least I got him.
Hmm? You what, dear?
I got him. The killer.
Oh, no, dear. You couldn't have. They're still looking for him.
Well, oh, no. Oh, my gosh. What time is it?
11 in the morning.
I gotta get out of here.
Why? Johnny, please. Johnny, you're not supposed to get up. Oh, nurse!
If they let him get away after all my trouble, somebody was going to need a doctor. Judy and I hit the department store in 12 minutes flat. 1 minute later, I was in the shipping department talking to the head man.
Now, Mr. Dollar, just calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Now, exactly what is it you want to know?
That big packing case, the one that was lying right here in front of the bench last night. Where is it?
Oh, the great big one?
Yes, the great big one.
The one about 8 feet long and 3 feet wide?
Yes, the one about 8 feet long and 3 feet wide.
Well, there was something very peculiar about that case.
You're telling me. Where is it?
Well, this morning we came to work. The boys saw it all packed up, so they put it on the truck for upper New York State.
Oh, no.
Oh, indeed they did. But what was peculiar about it, even though they found it all ready to go, later on, they found all the merchandise that was supposed to go in it lying around loose. It had never really been packed.
Well, then, quick. The least you can do is tell me where it went.
Well, now, that I can do. That box was the boss's big annual charity shipment of goods. That particular box is on its way to some of the unfortunates who'll be spending this Christmas away from home.
All right, so where is it?
By now, it should be at the New York State Prison, up in Ossining.
Expense account, item 5, $12.80. Dinner check at Pietro's, where I had asked Miss Judy Whitehall to wait for me the night before, and where I inadvertently stood her up. Although how a gal can stand up after eating $12.80 worth of food, more than I can figure out. Expense account item 6, $10. Medical supplies for those poor CBS sound men, Vern Surrey and Billy Gould, who had to break all that glass during the show. Expense account total, $511.50. You may think this amount is a little high, but isn't everybody at this time of the year? Signed, yours, truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Gordon C. Hughes. Stars Charles Russell. Script by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd. Featured in the cast were Jay Novello, Georgia Ellis, Marlene Ames, Parley Bear, Paul Duboff, and Connie Crowder. The special music is written and conducted by Leith Stevens. Your announcer is Bob Stevenson. Be sure to be with us at this same time next week when another unusual expense account is handed in by
yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Thanks for joining us at 1001 Radio Days, your home for the best of Golden Age radio, when radio was king. If you enjoyed tonight's show, please do take a moment and send us a review. We always appreciate reviews, and they help new listeners find us. Until next time, this is your host, John Hagedorn. Stay safe, and we'll be back soon at 1001 Radio Days. And one note, don't forget to pick up 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. That's 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. This is your host, John Hagedorn, and we'll be back soon.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.